This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the power of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. So there's this procession, a funeral procession, going out of town, a town called Nain, going out of the gate, because the cemetery was outside the gate. Funeral procession going out, and a procession coming in the gate following Jesus Christ. That's the scene. Procession of death going out. Procession of life coming in. So it's obvious what the miracle is in this story. Jesus walks over. He touches the carrier for the casket called a bier. And he just touches it. And he says, "Do not weep. Young man, rise." And the guy gets up, comes back from the dead. It's an amazing, amazing miracle. One that we probably none of us have ever seen. I sure haven't. So that's the obvious miracle. But did you notice the other miracle? Did you notice the other miracle? A miracle can be defined as an interruption of the ordinary by divine intervention, something unexpected, an interruption. And the other miracle happened right before he raised the son from the dead. He walked over past this procession and he saw her and had compassion for her. He saw her. And in this gospel, her is mentioned over and over and over again. The focus is on this woman. She was not only a grieving widow and grieving for her son who had just died, but in those days, if you were a woman, you pretty much were not worth much from the perspective of the society. And if you didn't have a man in your life, if you didn't have a brother-in-law or a son or someone to take care of you, you were pretty much left destitute. And that's what would have happened with this woman. But Jesus saw her and had compassion for her. That's the other miracle. And that is what prefaced his healing and his raising her son from the dead. He saw her. Oprah Winfrey, on her last show, The Oprah Show, said that she had interviewed 30,000 people in her time on the air. And without a doubt, every single one of those people wanted validation. They wanted to know, do you hear me? Does what I have to say matter? And she said that was without fail. Every single one of them. And to that question, Jesus' resounding answer to all of us is, oh yeah, you matter so much more than you think you do. So much more than you think you do. I see you. And I have compassion for you and I love you. Last night I attended a gathering down at St. Paul's to bring awareness to exploited women and sex trafficking and human trafficking. And it is the second largest criminal activity in the world. The second largest. Can you believe that? We're finally starting to talk about it. Finally. And this area is prime because we're so close to ports. Human trafficking exists. And not only in selling people, but in prostitution and people coming in and out of treatment, and then somehow they just get caught up in the money and the drugs and the alcohol, and it is real and it's happening. But we honored an organization last night, Thistle Farms, and an Episcopal priest by the name of Becca Stevens, and they see these women, and it's not only women, it's also little boys and little girls and men, but they see them. And they're reaching out in compassion. And now they're opening up houses all over. And I would love to open one here. I don't know if we could ever do that. But, I mean, it would be amazing. because they're in this shelter for 2 years, and they rebuild their lives, and they get treatment if they need it for any kind of psychiatric difficulties or drugs or alcohol or just how to navigate, because most of these people have been, from the time they were children, abused. They don't want to be in here. We heard from a woman who talked that had been caught up in all of it and now is clean and has been for years, and she works at Thistle Farms, and you can Google them, and they sell products that are pure and good for your body. And you can support these people just by doing that, if nothing else. They are seen and acted on with compassion. Father John Powell was a professor at Loyola University in Chicago. And he writes of a story of a guy named Tommy that came into his class. Now, this was in the early 60s. So those of you who probably weren't even born then, back in the 60s, in the very early 60s, things were just about to ramp up to be radically different. And it was a very, very much of an upheaval time. And this guy taught at Loyola, and Tommy walked into his classroom, and he had hair down to here. Back then, it was unheard of. People were looked down upon for having long hair. And he wasn't quite sure how he was going to interact with them. It seems odd to us now, but believe me, back then it was a big deal. And so Tommy turned out to be the atheist in the classroom. And everything this professor would say, because he was a priest and he was teaching a class called The Theology of Faith. And everything that this teacher would say, Tommy would counteract and question and ridicule and look down upon it with scorn. But Tommy needed this class to graduate. And so they tolerated each other through the semester. And he was a real pain for this teacher. He doesn't mind saying. And so on the very last day of class, they were taking their final exams, and Tommy came up, turned in his final exam paper, and he said real cynically to the teacher, "So, do you think I'll ever find God?" And the teacher said, "No, I don't." And Tommy said, "Well, what are you talking about? I thought that's what you were pushing." And the professor said, "Nothing." And Tommy turned around and started to walk away. He got about 5 feet, and he said, "Tommy, I don't think you'll ever find God, but I have no doubt in my mind that God will find you. No doubt." So the guy left, figured he'd never see him again. He heard that he graduated later, and he was glad about that. But not long after that, he did hear about Tommy, and he had gotten cancer. And he was going to go and reach out to the guy just to see if he could help. But before he could, Tommy came to visit him. And he came into the classroom and he said, looked awful. He was bald by this time and kind of about ready to die. It was close to the time when he would. And he said, "I'm so sorry, Tommy, that you're sick. I was going to come and see you." And he said, "Yeah, I am sick. I have cancer in both lungs, and I just had to come back and see you." And he said, "Well, do you want to talk about it?" And he said, "Well, sure, what do you want to know?" And he said, "Well, what is it like to be 24 and dying?" And Tommy said, "Well, it could be worse." And so the guy said, "Well, what do you mean it could be worse?" And he said, "Well, I could be 50 and not know how to live a life of integrity. I could be 50 and not know how to tell people that I love them." And he said, "What I really came here to tell you is that you told me that you didn't think I would ever find God, but that God would find me. And let me tell you, Professor, that when I was diagnosed, I couldn't find God. And I looked and I looked and I railed and I beat against the walls. And I could not find God. God was nowhere. So I gave up. I said, 'Forget it. This is all hogwash.'" Didn't use those words. So he said, "I give up. I'm not going to look for God anymore." He said, "And then I remembered something that you told us in class. You said, 'The essential sadness is to go through life without loving, but it would be almost equally sad to go through life and leave this world without ever telling those you loved that you had loved them.'" And he said, "So then I figured I could do that. So I started with the hardest one first, and I went to my dad. And I walked over, and he was sitting in the living room and had newspaper up, as he always did. We didn't communicate a whole lot. Newspaper up, and he said, 'Dad, we need to talk.' And the dad said, 'So talk, newspaper up.' He said, 'No, no, Dad, I mean really we need to talk.' Newspaper comes down a little bit. He said, 'Well, what?' And he said, 'Well, Dad, I love you.' And then he said his dad did something that he had never seen him do. Tears started coming in his eyes. He started to cry, and then he got up and he went over and he hugged him, and they sobbed together, and they stayed up all night long that night. Even though the dad had to go to work the next day, they stayed up all night, and they told each other their secrets and all about their lives and what their hopes and their dreams and their mistakes and their sorries and their forgiveness. And then he said, I did it with my mom and my brother, and that was a little bit easier. Then I was sorry that I had waited so long. I had waited so long to do this. And do you know what, Professor? God was there then. I realized right then in that moment that God was there. And God found me because I loved others. And I just had to come back and tell you that. So then he said, the professor said to him, so will you come and talk to my class? And Tommy said, well, I don't know, but I guess I could do that. This is important. And so the time came, they came closer, and Tommy didn't get a chance to come to his class, but he called him and he said, I'm not going to make it. And he said, the professor said, I know. And he said, but Professor, will you do me a favor? Will you just tell everybody in the world what I told you? And he said, I'll do that for you, Tommy. This is a true story. So I'm figuring we're helping to share in that legacy and in that wish. We affect change by how we live. And if we live in love, that's what we get. And we begin to see others and have compassion. The Dalai Lama said, if you want to make others happy, show compassion. If you want to make yourself happy, show compassion. The same thing. And the circle goes around, and then giving is receiving. In closing, one last little story. There's a rabbi. If you've heard this before, forgive me. I told it here about 7 years ago. There's a rabbi, and he's with his students, and he said, when can you tell when the hour of dawn has come and the night is over and a new day is beginning? And the student says, oh, well, is it when you can look across the field and you can see a difference between a sheep and a goat? And the rabbi said, no. And the second student says, oh, well, is it when you can look at the fig tree and you can tell the difference between that and the olive branch? He says, no. So the student said, well, what then? What is it? And the rabbi said, the wise rabbi said, it is then when you can look at human beings and you have enough light within you that you can see them as your brothers and sisters. Until then, the night is with us and the darkness is there. Let us pray. God, you are so compassionate. Thank you for seeing us. Thank you for loving us. Stir us up. Take our community and show us what you want us to do in this world in a huge way, outside these walls. Help us live your compassion. Help us live your truth. Help us live your peace. With deepest gratitude, and in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.